Dearest melancholic Dree, perhaps you have been spending too much time with the SDMML sapiens don't make me laugh, because your introspection and self-doubt sound mightily like a Hamid homily, a la retro-neo-liberal Lala. But I do so want to corvid-spond about soaring. I have myself lately been pulled from the sky, not thankfully by a larger bird or a deadly projectile, but by the forces of order who have banned crow flight for fear of pandemic spread. What cost the heart left without soaring? Your mother from Aberdeen, mine from Alabama, who used to joke with us small fledglings when we would amuse her, my heart soars like the eagle. We were a bit put off by the large bird reference, but the glint in her eye, the one we could see turn toward us, always made us cockle. I think of fledglings now in this moment, the single pleasure, the learning to glide, the possibility of exquisite freedom, married as it always is to embraced risk. How will they know they can be courageous if they cannot risk, or trapped in flock down, cooped, you will pardon the expression, up in the nest, activity kept to a corroded minimum. Soaring, my dear Derive, do you remember how you taught me starboard and aft? How I learned to pivot on a wing? How you learned to swoop? Now I fear melancholy weights the feathers down worse, and we cannot delight one another with lessons and seductive little corrections. Worse, I fear the consequences of not soaring, that when freed, the heart won't remember freedom. Ah, carissimo Lodurayev, your melancholy even in script. How do you hold that stick so long in your beak as to write Duke of Salaparuta, finds its way into my now inky heart? Have we lost our rebel souls? No protest left in us? Surely not. XXOOO. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Your very own Duray.
Ma chère Duray, my one and only. My mind drifted back today to our variously unhappy childhoods. Do you remember when incontinent punning was met with punishment? How we were told by one or the other of our stern parents that our places in the pecking order required us at all costs to uphold our dignity? When this austere and inflexible pedagogy turned, as it had to, into a source of endless merriment? It was always an elaborate joke, endlessly diverting to the very parents who, while trying to maintain a convincing semblance of outward-turned gravitas, could not contain eruptions of wordplay. As I write, my feathers are in wild disarray. I rehearse our childhoods in copious detail, now recalling nothing but the intricate preparations for a long-withheld punchline. Oh, if we'd only known this. But then we would not have sought out each other's company. I would not have experienced your immediate sympathy for my lugubrious, painful-to-behold dourness. Aberdeen, after all. And you would not have savored my helpless laughter as I delighted in your every pun. Ma chère Dorée, during this moment of pandemic, I concur in your suggestion of a pandemic on two legs, I have been forced to frequent the purlieus of our intellectual history, and so, after much thought, I conclude that hominid-corvid interactions are not entirely without cultural benefit to the bipeds. Indeed, the hominids, who have a good deal of corvid mixed into their characters, are those most likely to achieve greatness. Think of Franz Schubert, at least 30% corvid by my conservative estimation. Kleine, wunderliches Tier, willst mich nicht verlassen? Kleine, lass mich Englisch sehen. Teuer bis zum Grabe. I know the words were written by Wilhelm Müller, but they only endure because Schubert set them to music. In an equally mournful tone from that bird brain, Friedrich Nietzsche. My God, they do lay it on with a trowel. Die Krähen schreien und sehen schweren Flugs so statt. Bald wird es schneien. Wohl dem, der jetzt noch Heimat hat. Die Krähen schreien und sehen schweren Flugs zur Stadt. Bald wird es schneien. Weh dem, der keine Heimat hat. Even the Duke of Salaperuta revealed Corvid-like tendencies in his more hysterical effusions. It needs only to be said that his extensive vineyards produce wines called Corvo. I place this thought squarely before you. If our hominid friends show Corvid attributes, is it not possible that we have something trace-like, infinitesimally small, invisible to the naked eye, of the hominid in us? Of course, our mastery of tool use puts theirs to shame. Also, our social lives are better ordered and far richer. We do not contaminate the environment as they do. What's a little guano? It helps their gardens to grow. Some years ago, I read a novel in which hominids, through death or misadventure, are transformed into corvids. They should be so lucky, I thought at the time. The thought that they might be so lucky, I find truly alarming. In fear and trembling, your adoring Delive.
Carissimo, deliciously disordered Delive. Che bello, davvero, your last missive. They should actually be called hitives, as they justly puncture the too windy world with sharp asides. Is it any wonder that it's called punishment or punitive? And then there is punchline. Would that in our feather formative years we had been able to suss out the slightly below the surface power of merriment in the harsh rebuke. Ah, well, what is crowing older for, if not the satisfying recognition that cross-species sympathy lies closer to our grasp, or in our case, to our bonny beak, than we knew? Yes, I know the novel of which you speak. Were you not ever on the author's shoulder, assisting him in the ways of transcrofication? I know you were. Have you noticed how German looks like stick scratch on a page? Maybe it's a lost language of a lost tribe. Meanwhile, you put me in mind of hominids who display their cross-corvid tendencies by ruffling the world's feathers. I am thinking of La Divine A. Davis, as she soars above many in her ability to never let drop any thread of the connection between the myriad injustices the hominid system has refined. An agile beak, that one. Or La Zora, of course in Crow pronounced Sora, who sounds like us when she sings as a form of learning those folk songs that sound to our crow ears, now that's a whole other chronicle to tell, like a mix of cawing and crow solidarity. You know my lugubrious one, the Eeyore of the skies. I have been turning my beak-wielded stick to sonnets in honor of that early crossover artist we love. So I leave you with this. Soaring sonnet. O hominids, join us in punning joy, your spirits pressed down by pandemic's ploy. Still you can rise in mind as well as soul. A pun will always save you, as it's droll. But more than droll, buried in twisted note, comes the explosion that floats the heart's boat. Like our feathered wheeling in summer's sky, getting the joke askance, groaning but wry. Practice is research, punning we would say. Follow your beak while the sun shines, make hay. Instinct fosters anthropomorphists who take injustice for their mill as grists. Soar, hominids, let your freak feathers fly. Fuck gravity, come join us in the sky. Perhaps to the marriage of true minds, Derive, we will admit hominids from time to time, or time after time, XO, 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 your crow.